Bertrand has announced his entry into combinatorics with a very nice result last year, a couple of years ago, on the integer polyhedra of sine graphs, solving a long-standing conjecture of Lovaas, I think?
Seymour.
And he's going to tell us more about integer polyhedra and sine graphs. And so, Bertrand, please go on. Go ahead.
Okay. So, actually, I won't really be talking too much about that result, but I'll talk about generalization of that result. So the title may be a bit misleading because I won't talk too much about even cycle and even cut matrix. I guess I should have picked a title which has flows or something in it.
Oh.
So, and to keep up with the previous talk, I'm defining circuits to be connected edge-induced subgraphs of degree two, where every vertex has degree 2. And I'm going to say that a circuit is going to be odd if it contains an odd number of edges, and it's going to be even if it contains an even number of edges. And what I want to do is I want to look at a problem on graph initially, and then I will generalize it to a problem on binary matrix. So I'm given a graph, and I'm given a set of weights which are positive for every edge in the graph. And I'm defining an optimization problem. So I'm going to have one variable for every edge in the graph, and that variable is going to be either 1 if I pick the edge, and it's going to be 0 if I don't pick the edge. And so I have an objective function which says that I want to pick a set of edges of minimum weight, and I'm going to have a certain number of constraints. And I'm going to have one constraint for every odd circuit, and that constraint is going to say that I should pick one edge for every one of those odd circuits. All right? So if you think about the solution of this integer program, so it's going to be the characteristic vector of a set of edges, which has a property that if you remove that set of edge from the graph, then the remainder of the graph is going to be bipartite. And in fact, because every weight I had on the every weight was strictly positive, in fact, the graph you obtain when you remove that set of edge is going to be a cut. So because you were choosing a set of edges of minimum weight, what you're really looking for here is a cut of a maximum weight. So you're really looking at the solution here is really the complement of the solution to the maximum cut problem. Right? So this problem is known to be NP complete. So one thing you could try to do is to say, well, here you have integrality constraint, which tells you that either you have to pick the edge or you shouldn't pick the edge. So you could replace this by sort of a linear programming constraint. You're just saying that you want to pick some value which is non-negative for the edge. So you could fractionally pick an edge. Right? For instance, if you could have a triangle and pick 1/3 for every edge in that triangle, that would be you would satisfy the constraint for that particular triangle, for instance. And so the question you can ask is, when is it that after I replace this integrality constraint by a linear programming constraint, but just non-negativity constraint, when is it that this polyhedron is still integral? When is it that I still get the optimal solution? Right? And that's actually equivalent to asking that the following polyhedron is integral. Right? So I have one variable for every edge, one constraint for every circuit which has an odd number of edges. And I have one constraint which says that I have to pick one edge for every one of those odd circuits. And I want this polyhedron to be integral. So in other words, every point which cannot be expressed as a convex combination of two other points is in the on a 0-1 lattice. And that's equivalent to saying that you can solve the optimization problem that the linear programming optimization problem gives you the same solution as the integer program. So I'm going to give a definition. I'm going to say that graph is weakly bipartite if and only if this associated polyhedron is integral. And so later on I will give equivalent definitions of this, which will essentially be equivalent to saying that you have the existence of some kind of maximum min cut type theorem in certain matrix. Right? But for the time being, this is the first important definition. So graph is weakly bipartite if this associated polyhedron is integral, where the constraint tells you that you have to pick one edge for every odd circuit. Right? And Well, so the question is, are every graph weakly bipartite? And, well, the answer is no. In fact, you can solve the linear programming relaxation in polynomial time. So that would mean if you didn't have any, that means that the class of graph which are weakly bipartite, you can solve the maximum cut problem in polynomial time. So what's an example of a graph which is not weakly bipartite? Well, you take the complete graph on five vertices. And now what kind of constraints you have? Well, you have two types of circuits. You have triangles, and you have circuits of length 5. And now what you can do is you can put edges, you can put values of 1/3 on every, for every edge in that in K5. And clearly you will satisfy all the constraints, because all the triangles, the constraint for the triangles will be satisfied. And the same thing, of course, will be true also for the circuits of length 5. So 1/3 on every edge is a solution. So it's a point in that polyhedron. And it turns out it's an extreme point, because you have exactly 10 edges in K5, and you have 10 triangles in K5 as well, and the 10 triangles correspond to 10 linearly independent constraints. So actually, the 1/3 is an extreme point of the polyhedron. It's not the convex summation of two other points. So that's one obstruction, and it turns out that this is, the, in some sense, the only obstruction. But so here you have to be a little careful, because you have to, if you define an obstruction, you have to define some kind of containment operation, and here it has to be defined somewhat carefully. So I'm going to define the notion of an odd minor. So an odd minor is essentially, so you start with a graph, and it's any graph you can obtain by doing the following sequence of two operations. First, you pick a set of edges, and you remove it from the graph. And then you pick a cut, and you contract every edge on the cut. Right? So this is an odd minor, and it has a nice property that you don't change the parity of the circuits. Right? And this is a crucial property. So here is an example. So if I give you, if you look at this graph here, now you can remove the red edges. So you're left with this graph here. Then you can look at the cut, which contains just that one vertex on one of the shores, and then you contract those two edges because they're on the cut, and you're left with K5. Right. So this graph here is not weakly bipartite, because it contains K5 as an odd minor, but this one is weakly bipartite. So just take K5 and replace one edge by put a vertex in the middle of one edge. This is weakly bipartite because you can't get K5 as an odd minor. You can certainly contract an edge, but you would have to. You can't. You're not allowed to just contracting an edge. You're only allowed to contracting all edges on a given cut. All right. So that's the problem on graph. And what I'd really like to do is I'd like to look at sort of the generalization to a problem on matroid. But it turns out that contracting every edge on the cut is not the best way of looking at things. It's making things a little messy. So it's actually easier if, rather than looking at graphs, you're looking at what's called sine graphs, and later on we'll look at sine matroid. So what's a sine graph? Well, it's just a graph, and you pick a subset of its edges, and you call those the sine edges. So it's just a pair. And now I'm just going to redefine what I mean by an odd circuit. So before, an odd circuit was just a circuit with an odd number of edges. So here, instead of counting all the edges, I'm just going to count the edges which are in the signature. Right? So here, for instance, if the red edges are the edges which are in the signature, so this would be an odd circuit because they contain one edge. And this triangle here would be an even circuit because I have two edges in the signature. Right? So that's just so
the signature mean?
The signature is just a subset of edges. So it's a subset of edges of my graph. So a sine graph is a pair of the graph and the signature. And I write sigma for the signature.
So you don't really have signs yet?
No. It's...
The edges on sigma, you think of as minus one edges.
Right, yeah. I think this is where the terminology comes from. Yeah.
And if you take the product of the edges...
Right.
Minus one, it's on.
Yeah.
So for an ordinary graph, all the edges are in the signature?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You want to specialize.
Right. So the only interest of looking at it this way is that you can, rather than contracting all the edges on the cut, no, you can contract edges which are not in the signature. So that's the interest. Because if you contract an edge which is not in the signature, then essentially the property you want is that you don't want to change the parity of the circuit. So now I can redefine what I mean by being weakly bipartite. It's just the same definition as before, but instead of looking at circuit, I just look at the odd circuits. No, where odd circuits means just a circuit which intersects the signature with an odd parity. Right. So it really is the same definition. But now I can define minor operation in the following way. So one thing I can do, I'm going to start from the bottom. I can remove an edge. And if you look at it from the polyhedral point of view, it really is the same as setting one of the variable equal to zero. So you're essentially intersecting your polyhedron with one of its face. So if it was integral, it remains integral. What you can do is contract an edge which is not in the signature, and that corresponds essentially to doing a projection. And the other operation, sometimes you want to contract an edge, but it's in the signature. So what you can do is you can pick a cut which contains that edge, and now what you're going to say is that for every edge which is in that cut, if it was in the signature before, then I'm going to put it out of the signature, and if it was not in the signature, I'm going to put it in the signature. And because every circuit intersects every cut an even number of times, you're not going to change the priority of the cuts. Right? So this allows you to contract edges which were in the signature initially. You just re-sign them and then contract them. And now you can define the notion of an odd minor. So so you have a sine graph, and any sine graph you can obtain by doing those re-signing, contracting even edges and deleting edges is a sine minor. And so the characterization in terms of sine graph is that you want a sine graph is weakly bipartite if and only if it doesn't have the graph K5, where every edge is in the signature as a sine minor. And it's not difficult to see that this is exactly the same theorem I gave you before. It's just a few lines to go from one to the other. Okay, so this is just an introduction. What I'm really interested in is looking at the same problem but for binary matrix, for sine binary matrix. So I'm going to take a binary matrix, and I'm going to take a subset of its element, which I'm going to call the signature, and the pair matrix and the signature is going to be called a sine matrix. And I'm going to say that a circuit of the matrix is going to be odd if it intersects the signature with an odd parity. Right, it's the same definition as before. And now I'm going to give a name to that sine matrix. I'm going to say that the sine matrix is ideal. That's the only definition you should remember at this stage. I'm going to say that the sine matrix is ideal if the following polyhedron is integral. So I'm going to have, again, one variable for every edge, which is supposed to be non-negative. Then I'm going to have one constraint for every odd circuit in my sine matrix. So it's a circuit which intersects the signature without parity, exactly the same as before. And I want to know when is it that all the extreme points lie on the 0-1 lattice.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Why do you call it ideal and not weakly bipartite?
Well, because this is really looking at sort of families of sets, and looking at it when the covering polyhedron is integral, and the terminology ideal already existed for that.
So sorry, M was any binary
matrix. Any binary matrix. Right. So the previous case was exactly the case when M was graphic. Right. So when M is graphic, then the sine matrix is ideal if and only if it's the same thing as saying that the graph is bipartite. Right. Now I have to introduce another definition. So here I'm looking at, really the objects I'm interested in are the odd circuit of assigned binary matrix. But sometimes it's better not to look, there's several equivalent ways of looking at those sets as this family of sets. So sometimes, I want to give them a name. And so this way I'll be able to look at them in different ways. Right? So I'm going to say that a family of sets, so I have a finite ground set, And I'm going to say that the family of set is a binary clutter. Essentially, if there exists a sign matroid such that the ground set of my family set is the element on a matroid, and element in my family are just the odd circuit of the sign matroid. Right? So whenever you see binary clutter, you can just think of the family of circuits of a signed binary matroid. Right? But sometimes it's just that sometimes I'll talk about binary clutters, and signed binary matroid will not be explicit, right? But just substitute binary clutter for circuits of signed binary matroid. And so now you can ask, when is it that that a signed? So the question now I'm interested in is, when is it that a signed matroid or a binary clutter is ideal, right? So. Okay, so as already said, when it's graphic, then it's a case of weakly bipartite. So let's look at the case when it's co-graphic, and that's a well-known case as well. So suppose you have a matroid M which is co-graphic. So you have an associated graph. You have a signature. So this corresponds to a subset of the element of the matroid. So a subset of the element of the graph. Here, this has the red edges. And now you're looking at the odd circuit of my signed matroid. So this corresponds to the odd bonds, the inclusion-wise minimal cuts, which intersect the signature with odd parity. Right? But those are actually objects which are... So this is just an object on a graph. So you have a graph, you have a signature on the graph, and you're looking at the odd cuts, the cuts which intersect the red edges with an odd parity. But this is an object which is already known, because what you can do is you can look at the graph which is induced by the red edges, the edges in the signature, and now put the vertices which have odd degree in that red graph, put them in T, and the vertices of even degree are not in T, right? Now, you're going to have an even number of vertices in T because you have an even number of vertices of odd degree, and it's easy to see that the odd cuts are going to be precisely the cuts which have an odd number of vertices in T on each of the shores, right? So your odd cuts are just T cuts, right? So T cuts are just sets of just cuts which have the property that you have an odd number of vertices of T on each side of the shores, right? So when you're looking at something which is co-graphic, the objects you get, the odd circuits of your matroid are just the T cuts. So what you want to know is, when is it? So if you go back to the setting we had before, you want to know when is it that the set of T cuts give you an integral polyhedron, right? So you're going to have the constraints are going to be that for every T cut you have to pick one edge for every T cut, and you want to do it fractionally, and you want to know when is it that you get the same thing as doing it integrally. Right. And there's a classical result of Edmondson-Johnson, which tells you that the associated polyhedron is indeed integral. So in other words, the graphic case, we know we have the solution. For the co-graphic case, we also have the solution. Graphic case, weakly bipartite graph. Co-graphic case is the cases of the T cuts.
So all of them, they all
work. Right. It always works for the co-graphic.
The theorem that you just had—that indeed is a special case. It's a corollary of your generalization, isn't it?
No, because
your general theorem applies to binary matroids.
Right. The only theorem I stated was only for the graphical case, right? That's the only theorem I stated was that the graph is weakly bipartite if and only if it doesn't contain K5 as an odd minor.
You didn't state that generalizes the binary matrix.
No, it doesn't. You have to.
The problem generalizes.
Right, the problem generalizes. No. The problem on matrix is still open. I'm just bringing some.
Okay, well, anticipating the rest of the talk, do you have a generalization to binary matroids that includes these two special cases?
Yeah, I have a generalization of this case. I have a generalization of the weakly bipartite case. And
they're not.
I have also a common one, but they're sort of all disjoint from one another. I don't have a characterization of when is it that signed binary matroid or the associated polyhedron is integral.
But sufficient conditions that would include both of them.
Yeah, I have sufficient conditions that includes both of that.
Would include both of them.
Yeah.
Is there a conjecture?
Yeah, yeah. It's all coming up. So, okay, I need one more definition. One more definition, and it's a notion of a blocker. So, if I have a family of sets, I can look at the sets which I can look at the set of transversals from that family. So, there's a set which intersect every element in that family. And there's a set which are minimal. So if you remove any one element, it no longer intersects every element in the family. And the family of all those transversals is called the blocker. Right? So just to clarify some of the definition, so if you looked at T-cuts in the previous case, and you only have two vertices in it, then essentially you have two vertices S and T, then the T-cuts are just the cuts which separates S from T. And what are the blocker of the T-cuts? Well, the family of edges which intersect every ST-cut. So they're just going to be the ST-pass, right? And so the particular, the special case of Edmonds-Johnson theorem will just tell you that the minimum cut is equal to the fractional packing of ST-pass. So that's the mean cut Maxwell theorem. Right, and so why are we interested in blocker? Well, we're interested in blocker because ideal clutters come into pairs. So, for instance, if something is ideal, then its blocker is going to be ideal, right? So, if you want to characterize which are the sign matrix which give you or the clutters which are ideal, then you should keep that in mind. Okay, so I'm almost ready to state the conjecture, but I have to define the same way we defined the containment operation for sine graph. We want to do the same thing for a sine matrix, right? For sine graph, we have three operations. Either you could relabel things along a cut. So here you do the same thing along a core circuit, right? So you replace. You start with your sine matrix M sigma, and you find a co-circuit, and you replace the signature by the symmetric difference of the previous signature and the co-circuit. You can contract an edge which is not in the signature, or you can delete an element, right? So exactly the same operations, and now you have a conjecture as to what the obstruction should be, right? So you have the conjecture is the following: it's you to Seymour. And the conjecture is that a signed binary matroid is ideal, so it's associated polyhedron where the constraints are, say, that you have to pick one element for every odd circuit. This polyhedron is integral if and only if you don't contain, where containment means doing resigning, contracting edges, and deleting edges. If you don't contain one of the three following signed matroid. So you certainly want to exclude the odd circuits of K5. Right, because that corresponds to the graphic case, so that certainly is one of the obstructions. Well, we saw that if something is ideal, then its blocker is ideal. So in particular, if it's not ideal, then its blocker is not ideal. So if you're excluding the odd circuits of K5, then you should also exclude the blocker of the odd circuit of K5. Right, so they're all the sets which are going to intersect the odd circuits of K5. And there's another obstruction you have to exclude, at least. And those are the lines of the Fano matroid, right? So here I've represented in the matrix. So each row corresponds to a line of the Fano matroid. And what you can do is you can put this is not ideal because so the signature would be just the set of all elements. And so here you could put one third for every point in the line. And you get seven linearly independent, because you have seven linearly independent lines, the one third would be an extreme point of your polyhedron. Right? So is the statement of the conjecture clear? Right? Any? Okay. Right? So this is the conjecture, and so we know how to do it for the graphic case, we know how to do it for the, that's a weakly bipartite case, we know how to do it for the co-graphic case. Because that's that's a T-cut theorem, and so one natural thing to do. Well, the first thing you try to do is
My question is the blocker of OK5 is that also a binary signed binary matroid?
Yeah. Okay. It's closed under taking the blocker. Okay, so okay, let me. So I just have one slide for one approach which gives you something which is not going to work, but I think it'll give you some indication why you have to try something else, and this is what I'll do in the remainder of the talk. So one thing you can try to do if you have some if you've solved a general problem for some special classes is to try to construct larger classes using those smaller classes. And so here we want to solve a problem on sine matroids, sine binary matroids, and we already know how to do it for graphic case and for cographic case. So one natural thing is to use all those decomposition tools for matroids to try to prove it for larger classes. Right, so we know it's true. So we know essentially that the conjecture is true if the matroid is graphic, if it's cographic. You can also check it in the special case where the matroid is R10. So all you have to do is try all the signatures. And either you get, for each of the cases, either you get an integral polyhedron or you get the family of sets you get just corresponds to the blocker of the odd circuits of K5. You can just check. I mean, it's a small example. And same thing, you can try it for the Fano matroid. You can try all the possible signature, and either you get the line of the Fano matroid. This is the case where you choose to put everything in a signature, and otherwise you always get something. You always get an integral polyhedron. So essentially, this tells you something about elementary classes, and there's a theorem which tells you that. Well, you can assume that things are highly connected, right? So what we did here, we cheated a bit. We said, suppose we have a minimal counterexample, then we can show that you have this high connectivity. And so I don't want to get into details of connectivity, but essentially you show that it's sufficiently connected that you can use matroid decomposition tools, right? And essentially there's a theorem of Seymour which tells you that if something is highly connected, and it's regular, then it would be either graphic, cographic, or R10. So you can assume that it's not regular, right? Because if it were regular, then you already would be in one of your classes you've proved the result for. So essentially, you prove the result for the class when it's regular, and you can also use another trick, which is the split the theorem. And again, using the same connectivity result, you can show that the conjecture is proved whenever your matroid doesn't have the dual of the Fano matroid as a minor, right? So you're essentially trying to prove something about sine matroids, and you're going to prove it for special classes where the special classes is described in terms of excluded minor, right? So the conjecture is true whenever M doesn't have the dual of the Fano matroid. And then you can once you have this result, you can write this in purely in terms of families of sets. And so you get some sufficient condition which tell you that assigned binary clutter, assigned binary matroid is ideal, if and only if you don't one of five exclusion don't appear. And the first three are the ones you have to exclude, and then you have an extra two that essentially come from the from this beast here, from the dual of the Fano matroid. Okay, and incidentally, this is a common generalization of both the Tikert theorem and the weakly bipartite graph theorem, because those things don't correspond to odd circuits of graph, and they don't correspond to Tikert's. Right, so that gives you a common generalization, but
that's conjecture.
No, that's a theorem. This theorem is a.
But that's actually, it is a generalization, but it's actually relying on that theorem, right?
It's relying on both. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
As well as your theorem.
Right.
So you're just decomposing these things? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, so I'm just saying, just prove it for larger classes of M, and then, right.
The counterfeit wants to be well connected, so by the splitter theorem, it's graphical.
Right, exactly. That's all there is to it. And I'm not claiming that's a good idea. In fact, my next slide is to show you that it's not. So, actually, not the next one, the one after that. So the problem with this approach is that, there seem to be sort of elementary classes which you don't capture, right? And so I want to tell you what I think the elementary... So I think there is a decomposition theorem for that class of ideal signed binary matroid, but I think that weakly bipartite graphs and T-cuts or the blockers are not the right classes. Right. So I want to give you an example which shows you that the things which are highly connected and don't fall into any of those classes we've seen already, and then I want to look at the special cases. So, but I need one definition for that. So suppose I have a binary matroid, and I can pick an element from that binary matroid, and now I'm going to the port of that binary matroid and the element E is going to be the set of all circuits using that particular element minus the element, right? So suppose you have a graphic matroid, then your element in the matroid corresponds to say an edge S and T, and the set of all circuit using the port would just be the set of ST paths, right? And if it's co-graphic, then you would get the same thing, but you would just get the ST cuts. Okay. And it turns out that the ports of matroids are binary clutters as well. Okay. So let me give you an example of. So I want to give you an example of a binary clutter. So if you can think of it as an associated sign matroid, which really doesn't fall into any of the classes we've seen before. So first I start with a matroid which is T12. So here I give the representation. Actually, it's self-dual, so you can think of this matrix as giving you the circuits as well. So this matroid is actually an even cycle matroid. So I'll go over that definition again, but you can think of it as you have a circuit 1, 7, 8, and 9 here, and here you have a graph which has some sign edges, red edges are the sign edges, and you have a circuit with an even number of the sign edges which contain 1, 8, 7, and 9, right? And you have a one-to-one correspondence between the circuits which are given by this matrix and the even circuits in that in that graph. So why are we interested in this matroid? Well, it has some nice property. First of all, if you look at the port, so I'm going to pick any element. Actually, this matroid is transitive, so every element plays the same role. So I pick any element, and I look at the port of this. Then this gives me an ideal binary clutter, right? In other words, the associated polyhedron is integral, but it doesn't. This clutter is not any of the things we've seen before. It's not a T cut. It's not the blocker of a T cut, a T joint. It doesn't correspond to the odd circuits of graph, and it doesn't correspond to the blocker of the odd circuits of a graph. So it's not any of the it's not any elementary class. And it's worse than that because it's really very well connected, because you can actually contract any element, and it remains. After contracting the element, it remains free connected and internally four connected, and because it's self dual, you can actually delete any element and it still remains free connected and internally four connected. So here you have an object which doesn't fall, which is not any of the objects we've seen before, which is ideal. Has an integral polyhedron, which is really connected, right? So, presumably there's some class of ideal sign matroid, which we haven't discovered yet. So here it goes. So here's the construction. So I'm going to take a sign graph. So I have a graph and I have a signature subset of the edges. And I'm going to define the matrix as follows. So the columns of the matrix correspond to the edges of the graph, and the rows of the matrix are just going to correspond to the bounds of the graph, right? And now I'm going to add one extra row, which corresponds to the signature, the incident vector of the signature. And I'm going to say, well, look at the matroid which has that which has this matrix as a representation. Right. So what is this matroid? Well, we call that an even cycle matroid. Why is that? Because, well, what are the circuits of this matroid going to be? Right. Well, you're certainly going to have to intersect every. So I use this representation over GF2. Right. So you're certainly going to have to intersect. So what are the circuits of this even cycle matroid? Well, you certainly have to intersect every bond an even number of times. So what you really get is you already know that it's a cycle, right? And actually you know that it's an even cycle because you have to intersect the signature with even parity, right? So it's an even cycle, so you can decompose your cycle into circuits. And now you have two cases. Either you contain an even circuit, right? And because of minimality, then your, the circuit of your even cycle matrix is just that even circuit. Or you contain two disjoint odd circuits.
Your disjoint odd circuits can share.
They can share one vertex, but if they share two vertices, then again, it would not be minimal. Yeah, they can have one vertex in common.
When you say the bonds of G, you just need a basis, right?
Yeah, it's like the same thing. Yeah. So if I didn't have this, this would just be the graphing matrix, right? Okay. So I have this sine graph, and I define the even cycle matrix, and I'm going to pick one element, say in the signature, and I'm going to look at the port of this of this even cycle matrix. So what are those objects going to be? Well, essentially I have two cases, right? Depending on whether, so I'm going to look at the circuits which are using a particular element, right? So the circuits are either of this type or they're of this type, right? So if it's of this type, because I'm picking an element which is in the signature, what I'm left with, so say this edge is the edge S and T, what I'm left with is an odd pass from S to T. Right, because this was an even circuit, and the element E I'm picking is odd, right? So either the elements of the port are either odd ST paths, or they're going to be the union of an even ST path and an odd circuit, which again can share only one vertex in common, right? So those are just combinatorial objects. So now you can forget about the whole business. Now all you want to do is you want to characterize when is it that those two types of objects give you an integral polyhedra. Right, and I'm just going to call those objects odd ST walks, right? Because either they're odd ST paths, or you can think of them as having an even path, and then you take a path to go on your odd circuit, and you come back using the same path. Well, if somebody comes up with a, for lack of a better name, right? So odd ST walks are just the family of all odd ST paths, and the family of all the union of even ST paths and odd circuits. Right. So maybe yeah. So I want to know when is it that those things are integral, right? So the special cases. Well, one special case would be when S is equal to T, right? So what do you get when S is equal to T? Well, you don't have any odd ST paths, right? And when S is equal to T, the even ST path is just the empty path, right? So the only thing you're left with in this case is that you just have odd circuits, right? So the case of odd ST walks when S is equal to T is just the case of odd circuits. Right, so it already contains the set of odd circuits. So in terms of exclusion, certainly you have to exclude the odd circuits of K5. Right, because the odd circuits of K5 is a cluster of odd ST walks. But the other things you have to exclude, and for instance, you have to exclude the lines of the Fano matrix. Right, so here's the graph. So I have a sine graph, and I have two vertices S and T. And I'm looking at the odd ST walk in this graph, and I'm claiming that this corresponds to exactly the line to this matrix here. This matrix here corresponds to the lines of the Fano matrix. So how do you get that? Well, for instance, you have what would be the odd ST walk? Well, I have odd paths, and I have the other object. Right. So one odd path would be I take 1, 3, and 5. That's this one. I can take 1, 4, and 6. Right, so the red edges are the odd edges, and so on. So I get four of such odd paths. But then I can also take an even path from S to T, which is just 7, plus an odd circuit which contains at most one vertex in common, which would be 1 and 2. So 7, 1, 2 is also an odd ST walk. 7, 3, 4 is an odd ST walk, and 7, 5, 6 is an odd ST walk. And those are the only odd ST walk you get. Right. So certainly you have to exclude the odd circuits of K5, and you have to exclude the lines of the Fano matrix. And it turns out that those are the only exclusions for this family. Right. And this clearly is a generalization of the weakly bipartite characterization. Okay. Any question about that or?
So this is a stronger theorem than
the weakly bipartite one, right? Because the reason it's stronger is because you can check that the lines of the Fano matrix do not correspond to the odd circuits of any graph. So if you and you know that this the class of odd ST walks contain the class of odd circuits. Right, so since you have the excluded minor characterization for this class, you also have it for the smaller class.
So you know, when S equals T, you get the earlier theorem.
Right, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
This is funny. I mean, usually when you generalize to T cuts and T joints, what you've done is you've taken your graph or sine graph. You're basically looking at a one-element extension of the matrix.
Right,
you're
right.
Looking at the port of that.
Yeah.
And now basically what you're doing is you're taking that extension, but not just looking at the port of that element.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because looking at one extension is the same in fact as looking as sine matrix.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So essentially you have three things. Either you don't have any extension, and then you're essentially looking at Max Lobin cut type theorem or packing of ST cuts, or you're looking at extension, then you get odd circuits and ST cuts, or you're looking at this new sine matrix and then you take the port. You're looking at even cycle matrix and you take the port and you get those new objects. So there's a hierarchy between the three. Yeah, I agree. It's sort of an unusual way of doing this. It was motivated by this example, which we could not explain where it came from. And so the examples I had before is explained by this class, right? Because this is matrix T12, and we're looking at the even cycle matrix here. Then we just picked one element, and we looked at the clutter you were getting here. So the clutter you're getting here is just a clutter of odd ST walks. Right, and the fact that this is ideal is just given by the is a consequence of that of that previous theorem, right? Because you can check that you don't contain odd circuits of K5 for this beast here. Okay, so let me just talk about one more thing. So everything we've done. We could do again for co-graphic matrix, right? And that's what I want to do now. So I'm going to take a graph. So before we took a graph, we had a signature. Then we looked at the even cycle matrix and we looked at the port of that. And the combinatorial objects we were getting were those odd ST walk, right? And now I want to do exactly the same thing, but I want to do it for bonds, right? So for co-graphic matrix. So I'm going to take a graph. Which has a signature, so a subset of its edges. And again, I'm defining a matrix, so the edges, the columns of the matrix correspond to the element of the matrix, and the rows correspond to the circuits of the graph, and plus one extra row which corresponds to the signature, right? So if I didn't have this, again, this matrix B would be the representation of the co-graphic matrix, right? So all I have is just this extra element here, So the matrix, which with that representation here, is going to be the even cut matrix. So exactly the same thing as before, except we replace graphic by co-graphic. And now what you can do is, again, you can look at what are the circuits of that even cut matrix. So I'm going to pick one element of that matrix that corresponds to one edge, say S and T in the graph. I'm going to assume that that edge is in the signature. And so the element of the port are just going to be the odd cut which contain the edge ST. So in other words, they're going to be the odd cuts which contain S and T on different shores. Right? And then you can do the same trick. Rather than looking at odd cuts, you could think of T cuts. Right? So you could define a set T such that the odd cuts, so the cuts which intersect your signature with an odd parity, are exactly those sets which have T, an odd number of vertices of T on each of the shores. Right? So the objects you're getting are T cuts which have the property that S and T on different shores. And those objects actually have been looked at before, and they're called ST T cuts. Somebody showed that in the paper of Gumans, where he shows that you can find Gumans and others et al., where he shows that you can find STT cuts in polynomial time, minimum STT cuts. Okay. So you can ask yourself, when is it that the clutter of STT cuts are ideal? Right. So STT cuts, T cuts, where S and T are on different shores. So what are the obstructions again? Well, here it turns out you have two obstructions. Right. So if you just looked at T cuts, you didn't have any obstructions. The associated polyhedron was always integral. Now, if you have this additional property, that additional condition that you have two specified vertices and S and T should be on different shores, then you no longer have the associated integral polyhedron. So you're starting to have obstructions. And, well, the two obstructions, one is not too surprising because you get the lines of the Fano matrate. The second one is a bit more surprising. You actually get the blocker of the odd circuits of K5. And I'm not sure I want to go. This is the example of the graph. Right, so here, this is you look at this graph here. This is the vertex S and T. The solid green vertices are the vertices in T. And if you're looking at the STT cuts here, there's a one-to-one correspondence between STT cuts here and the complements of the cuts of K5. Complements of cuts of K5 are the same as the blocker of K5. Right. So, for instance, if you look at the cut. Which separates this and this. The complement is 1, 2, and 5, 8. And you should have an STT cut which contains 1, 2, 5, 8, if I can find it. You're putting this on this side. That's 2, 5, and 8. But no, this is a T cut, but it's not an STT cut, right? Because S and T are both on the same short, so you're just throwing this extra edge here. Right? So...
When you say a clutter of STT cuts, are you including these even cuts?
So you're including the all T cuts which have the property that S and T are on different shores. So it's a subset of the T cuts.
So, but what about the first? You had the even cuts before you had the.
This was an odd cut.
I'm not. What's the relationship?
When you made the matrix, you made the
right.
column matrix.
Right.
You said you would have all the. Even
cut. Okay, so what happened is this.
Maybe put that over there.
Yeah.
You lost
the same thing. Like in the other case here, you had even circuits plus these other cuts. Yeah. Now you have
even, right, so
even cuts.
So here you have... So the elements of the matrix are just going to be even cuts. And now I'm interested in the even cuts which going through a particular edge. But now I'm picking this edge to be an odd edge, so that changes the priority.
So the circuits of the matrix are just the even cuts.
They're just the even cuts, right? But now I'm picking one element which is in the signature, so it's an element which is odd. And now I'm looking at the even cuts which are using that particular odd element. So and then I remove that element from it. Right, so then I'm left with a cut which is now odd, and which separated the two endpoints of that edge.
Right, but in the previous when you were doing the thing with cycles instead of cuts, you had the circuits being the even cycles, but also the unions of two disjoint odd cycles.
Right,
case you don't have.
No, I mean here it's just because it's hidden because I could also say that I have the even bonds or the union of two odd bonds, but those are just cuts. So in both cases, I'm getting even cuts. This is why it's okay. So, but. I mean, this is essentially just a construction. I mean, the important thing is what are the objects you're getting, and the objects you're getting out of that construction are just STT cuts. And then you want to characterize when is it that STT cuts or give you an integral polyhedron. So you have those two obstructions, and it turns out that those are the only two obstructions again. Now let me look at actually special cases, so maybe I'll clarify what those STT cuts are. So this contains the case of the T cuts, suppose you want to prove the theorem on t-cuts. What you can do is you can look at ST t-cuts where you're adding a dummy vertex which is isolated. If you want to prove the theorem on t-cuts, you could take a graph and add a dummy vertex, which is an isolated vertex, and you call that vertex S, and you call any other vertex of the graph T, and for every t-cut will be an ST t-cut because you can just put the isolated vertex on the side you're interested in.
Or just set S equals T, no? And put a loop or something.
No, because you want S and T on different shores here.
But it's also the same as just taking your circuits as going through the extension. Well, like you have your ordinary graph, and you're gonna turn it into a graph essentially by uncontracting some new element in this binary matrix. Now you're just looking at circuits through that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Instead of taking circuits through an edge, it's the same thing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to think about it in matroid terms, you're gonna have to add.
Oh, okay. So as I said, so a special case is when S is an isolated vertex. So let's look at another special case where T actually contains only two vertices. So you have I have the special vertices S and T, which have to be on different shores, and now I have my set big T, which has two vertices in it, say S prime and T prime. And now what is an ST t-cut going to be? Well, it's going to be a set of edges. It's going to be a cut which... I have to keep S prime and I have to keep S and T on different shores because the ST t-cut. And I'm also going to have to keep S prime and T prime on different shores because it's a t-cut also which contains S prime and T prime. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a set of edges which separates S from T and S prime from T prime. So what you're really looking for is what is called a two commodity cut. And if you think about the dual of this problem, so you have a minimization problem, find a set of edges which separate ST and S prime and T prime. And the dual of the problem would be trying to find a two commodity flow, trying to ship as much from pack as many paths from S to T and S prime to T prime, S to T prime and so on. There's a theorem of Hue which says that in this case you also have integral polyhedron, that clearance of two commodity flows and two commodity cuts are ideal, and it's a special case of that theorem. Okay, let me just give you. Okay, so just one last slide as a conclusion. So the big question is, so you have this sine matroid or you have those binary clutters, and you want to know when the associated polyhedron is integral. And you can look at the minimal obstructions, so the minimal sine binors of minimal obstruction to that property. And so Seymour's conjecture is that you have to exclude the odd circuits of K5, the blocker of that, or the lines of the Fano matroid. And so essentially what you can do is you can do the following reformulation. You can essentially say that it's equivalent. Saying that Seymour's conjecture is true is equivalent to saying that those minimal obstructions fall into one of those two classes, either odd ST walks or ST T cuts, right? And I guess that's all. That may be a.
Wait, so this is your conjecture.
Well, that's a corollary of the previous one, right? Because I've proved the conjecture for odd ST walks. I've proved the conjecture for ST T cuts. And if Seymour's conjecture holds, then it's one of those three excluded minors. And so it's either odd circuits of K5, in which case it would be odd ST walks. It's either the line of the Fano matroid, in which case it would be either, it would be both and sort of odd ST walks of ST T cut. Or it's a blocker of odd circuits of K5, in which case it would be ST T cut. So if Seymour's conjecture holds, then this one holds as well. And if this one holds, then the minimal obstruction fall into one of those two classes. Then I already proved the conjecture for those two classes. Then I would prove the Seymour's conjecture, right? So this equivalence is a corollary of the previous statement.
Okay.
Right, it says that the minimal obstructions fall into one of those two classes I discussed earlier. That's equivalent to Seymour's conjecture. If Seymour's conjecture is true, then it has to be one of the three little things. You just check that they fall into those classes. And if it's into those classes, then you have the theorem which tells you that the conjecture holds. So I guess, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Ah, very nice. Are there questions?
Your disciple's Cronjoe?
Sorry?
You have some relationship to Cronjoe?
Yeah, he was my advisor.
Okay. And so, it prompts me to ask you if you think about decomposition theories.
Yeah, so that's sort of a natural question. So I think well, one could make a very bold conjecture, which is that if you look at something which is one of the sine matroid which is ideal, so either you have it's not very connected, or it falls into one of those ideal STT cuts. So one of those STT cuts with no none of the two excluded minors, or it's odd ST walks, or it's a blocker over one of those two things. But it seems like it would be a very difficult decomposition theorem to prove, because in order to because you would need to be able to characterize what it means not to be, say, a clutter of STT cuts, and that would mean that you would have to be able to characterize what it is not to be an even cycle matroid, and that is not known, and in fact there's not even like a representation theorem, unique representation theorem for even cycle matroid. But so it's not clear that this can be pushed through a decomposition theorem at all.
Is there a possibility of any relationship between this class and balanced ideals?
Balanced matrix.
Ideal polyhedra?
I think the balanced matrices are really very small subset of ideal matrices.
Yes, I know. And so are these, I think.
You're essentially only looking at...
This is a class of ideal matrices, is what you're describing here.
Right, once you remove the obstructions.
Another class of ideal matrices.
Yeah, but I think balance is even... Well, it's sort of disjoint.
Yeah,
I don't think there's much of an overlap at all.
Have you speculated about the tie-in between the two?
Well, we introduced a concept which I think its only virtue was to give a common generalization to this class, so this class of binary clutters and to balanced matrices. We call them weakly balanced, something like that. But aside from the... it didn't seem to be... It didn't lead to too many things. I mean, a couple of results and then sort of died out. I think they're too different to do anything meaningful, which is common to the two.
Are there more questions? No? Okay, well, thank you, Bertrand. Very nice talk. We'll have a little break.